100 unnecessary hoops are jumped through to get Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish in the same room. And at no point does anything actually seem to be at stake. It's Night School, and it was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name's Sean Collier, and I'm here with two residents of Cape Town, one more literally than the other. It's Robin Hitchcock.
How's it?
And Camila Adams.
I might be distantly a resident of Cape Town. I don't know.
You know, they call it the Mother City because they say that that is where humanity, like, humans started to live.
Right.
Lots of places say that.
I know.
Yeah, but, you know, it's probably more likely in my case.
more there than, like, the Morocco, Egypt,
here, listen,
and then the Fertile Crescent and the whole...
Here's what I'm going to say about that. I am not really informed on this issue, but I am inclined to think that people would be like, people have lighter skin, they are more white adjacent, therefore I am comfortable with that being the cradle of civilization in a way I am not comfortable with sub-Saharan Africa being the cradle of civilization. I diagnose racism. Once again, I am uninformed on this issue.
That's fair.
This is because we watched Safe House and we ended up giving it 47 and a third, right in that zone of mediocrity. Same score as On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever, and Monsters University.
I have no memory of watching Monsters University.
We did, and I've still never seen Monsters, Inc. I have now spent more time at the Monsters, Inc. attraction at Disney World than I have watching... The Monsters, Inc. attraction at Disney World is one of the shows, and I guess at the end of Monsters, Inc., the point of Monsters, Inc. is that they learn that laughter produces as much of their magic energy as screaming.
So that's correct.
So the premise of this attraction is that now the Billy Crystal one runs a comedy club, and monsters come and tell jokes. And I realized that obviously there's some kind of motion capture thing going on the screen, but the voices are live.
Oh,
so
really?
There's like two dozen comedians whose full-time job is to tell monster jokes at Disney World every 10 minutes all day.
Are
every
we
day
sure that's their full-time job?
I think that's pretty fantastic. Yeah. Gig for I'm, a stand-up comic.
At first it's like all I have to get to do is, and then I'm like, well, that's not that different than normal stand-up, is it? And probably pays better and probably get health insurance anyway.
Right, exactly.
What do monsters have to do with Night School? Nothing, but we got to talk about something, and I don't know if it's going to be this movie.
Probably not.
I certainly saw this at the time. It was on my spreadsheet from that year. I probably reviewed it somewhere. I couldn't find it. Maybe this is something I only reviewed on the radio, and if that, probably for 45 seconds.
Yeah.
So I saw it. I didn't remember it. Now I know why, because it's not memorable. Did either of you see it?
No. I had no real inclination to ever watch it, and then, like, I think it was a couple years after it came out. What year did this come out?
2018.
Even though I spent this whole movie thinking it was like 2014 at the latest.
Right. Yeah. So I already was kind of on the edge where, like, Tiffany Haddish was concerned. I don't really particularly care for her.
Mm.
And then all that came out about her being a predator, basically. And
Did she ever get... This is, you know, allegedly.
Yeah.
We are casting an allegedly blanket over the podcast from here forward.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure people have receipts.
Basically, she had done some comedy sketches with child actors that had, like, gross sexual context.
Oh, and
she
didn't
do that.
This.
And I think that that is something that you arguably can't do the right way, period. But she definitely did it the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, anyway, did she ever get uncanceled?
I'm not sure. I think that there's just a lot of, I was already just like not really a fan of who she was in her comedy.
Did you like her in Girls Trip? That's like,
yes.
That was her breakthrough role. Like, that's what I first saw her in.
Right, yeah. Like in the beginning, I did enjoy her, but it's just like there is a point, and I know like some people are going to disagree with this, but I don't like really like the derogatory humor for where stand-up is concerned. I'm not a big fan of like the toilet jokes and the, you know, like the explicit sex jokes. Like we're getting like real deep into it. And that seems to be like 75% of her bag.
And
it's just like after so long, it's like, I don't need you to talk about your booty hole anymore, Tiffany. Yeah. Like, stop it. Mm-hmm. And so, and I just feel like she's like kind of a one trick pony where that's concerned. And so like I had already like, myself, she was already canceled for me before this stuff came out. And I was just like, see, I knew there was something not right about her.
Area woman thrilled to be correct.
Right.
I think she is, I agree with you, she's a one-trick pony. I happen to like that one trick. Yeah. Like what she can make me crack up really intensely, like Girls Trip in particular. Yeah. Like that was just, I think she's like a dynamo in that. And then gosh, what was that movie? I think it was one of those movies that was right in the theaters right when the pandemic started with...
Like a Boss.
Yes. Mm. There is a scene in Like a Boss where she eats a pepper that's too hot. That's it. That's the scene. And I laughed about it. It was lockdown, so maybe I was a little... But I laughed about it for... I like had to pause the movie and laugh for a solid 10 minutes.
I think she's funny.
Yeah.
I just wish that her material would like, like she would like spread her material out some more. Yes. Like she is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And it's just her subject matter I get kind of sick of.
Yes.
And I even like I read or I listened to her memoir. I forget what it was called, but like that was, it was great. It was good. Like she's got like a really endearing backstory and it's just like, I feel like she hasn't, even though she's written about it, she talks about it, but I feel like she herself has not worked through the pain of her life on a personal level, on a deep personal level. And I think she needs to come to terms with who Tiffany is a little bit better than what she's already done. But that's just my very, very outside, far, non-professional opinion on the matter.
Well, I knew I had seen her name in the news this week. It's because she's in Israel right now.
Oh, dear.
Doing what? That said, quote, "I can't believe everything that I read. I need to go see for myself. I want to talk to the actual people that's here, the people that actually experienced the situation that happened on the 7th. Hmm. She's got some smiling like, hey, I'm on a trip videos to a war zone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Like, she's not really, it's very tone deaf. Like your heart may be in the right place, but
your heart is in a place.
Yeah. Your body is in the wrong place.
Right. Yeah. It's like, my dude, woof. Like stop it. And then like also on just like a real selfish level, I feel like there was a movie she was in with Oscar Isaac, Card Counter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What a waste.
I fell asleep during that movie multiple times. I know some people really, really liked it. And it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm not sure it's the movie's fault that I keep falling asleep. And Under the Skin is another movie I've never stayed awake through.
Like the movie's great.
I know. I just
Card Counter is slow. It's like
it's ambient.
It is kind of it. It is the movie equivalent of a really good YouTube. Like background vibes video. I guess she's uncanny. Well, let's see what happens after this week because she was in Haunted Mansion last year.
Yeah, I know.
I keep forgetting that. Yeah, oh, yeah. Constantly. We'll get into it in the Faxy segment. But, you know, I like her on screen. There's just a lot of that. And there's not an evolution happening with what she does. Speaking of which, Kevin Hart is also in this movie.
Yeah. And Kevin Hart's another person who I'm like, you know what? I find you charming. You keep doing what you gotta do.
Yeah. I think he's really funny.
Yeah.
Again, I saw him before he was Kevin Hart, like at the Improv down in a Waterfront. And I've always found him like super hilarious, but it's also, I don't see him really evolving a lot.
Nope.
And I see that they're trying to like put him in like these action movies. And
which is embarrassing.
Right? And it's just, I don't know. I don't know if I believe anything that Cat Williams had to say about about Kevin Hart's status and what it is. I don't know.
What?
Didn't you see Cat Williams did a scorched earth takedown of the whole world a month ago?
No, I missed this entirely.
Someone invited him on a podcast and he was like, here's some people who don't deserve their lives. And just started ranting. And a lot of it seemed legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart was one of them. He just kind of like points out that he points to Kevin as like kind of the safe black man that Hollywood has accepted.
100%.
But he like goes a little bit like he gets a little more like insulting with it. Kat.
I can't. So at one point, Kevin Hart was going to host the Oscars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he got uninvited to host the Oscars. Why?
I don't remember.
This is one of those times. It happened to James Gunn. It happened to Dan Harmon, where a certain breed of probably right-wing troll combs through your Twitter history to find something that hasn't aged well.
Yeah, they were right about Dan Harmon.
Well,
yeah, they're right about Dan Harmon.
No, it wasn't about the thing that Dan Harmon got taken down for was not his, you know, poor behavior towards some of his staff. It was like a dumb cartoon from the 2000s where someone has sex with a baby doll. Like it's
I'm like, get rid of that guy under any means necessary.
We've never had this conversation.
We're going to talk more about it because this movie wants to be community.
It does. Anyway, the point is Kevin Hart had some jokes on his Twitter like 15, 20 years ago that are like, this is homophobic, found by people who are definitely also homophobic and surfaced just to mess with him and Hollywood, which is not to say like I'm sure the particular jokes were in bad taste.
Right.
The same with every comedian who had a Twitter in 2005.
Like, I talk to my students sometimes at comedy school about how bad comedy was in the aughts.
Yeah.
Like, we just were collectively not behaving.
So he didn't host the Oscars, and it's like, well, good. You didn't have a really hard job that never goes well. Like,
yeah.
Is it weird that he went on Ellen to explain? Yes, but whatever.
Okay. It goes to show that I, an Oscar obsessive, could not remember the details of this story.
Right?
Yes.
Well, it's don't have a host. The hosting thing.
It's kind of unnecessary.
I like having a host. I've been watching 90s Oscar shows with, you know, Billy Crystal and Whoopi Goldberg hosting, and they nail it. And I did also watch David Letterman's infamous monologue. So, yes, sometimes it goes very poorly, but sometimes it goes very well.
Would that work, though? Would a classy person doing classy old humor like Billy Crystal?
I mean, they had Steve Martin and Billy Crystal at different points in the last 15 years. And I can't recall.
maybe that's what we should be aiming for. Like, you told 5 minutes of jokes at the beginning, and later you said, she's got a new movie coming out. Here's Jamie Lee Curtis. And that's all the host does? Maybe that's okay.
Yes, I have been watching these old Oscars, and yes, you have a big opening number or an opening monologue. It's better when it's an opening number. And then for the rest of it, maybe you make a couple of little jokes. You know, this is Jamie Lee Curtis. Maybe you make a couple little ad-lib jokes with something weird just happened. I like there being a host.
You see what happens when we land on Night School?
We have to talk about everything else.
And then the world comes into it, and then we get frustrated, and then we're just three people sitting around going...
Okay, but I have to say that this movie, in my opinion, is not completely irredeemable.
Well, start that process by telling us what happens in this movie.
Well, that's not going to set me up very well for my argument. All right.
Go.
Kevin Hart is living his best life selling propane grills and hanging out with rich people, including his hot girlfriend. During an elaborate marriage proposal, he literally blows up his life. I mean, seriously, causes an explosion that makes him lose his job because his negligence engulfed his workplace in a literal fireball. This is an even bigger problem because he never finished high school. So he asked the principal of his former school to fudge his records. Principal declines for obvious reasons, but I guess also because they bullied each other back in the day. So he has to enroll in night school taught by Tiffany Haddish, where he struggles just like he did in day school. The strange bedfellows of night school bond. They steal test answers in a heist side quest. Tiffany Haddish lets Kevin Hart get away with cheating if he'll get tested for learning disabilities, and he has a bunch of them. She designs an IEP for him, which is her beating him up? Yes, really. Anyway, night school crashes the prom. Kevin Hart gets in trouble with his fiance for lying about everything and or being too low class for her. He still fails the GED. There's a perfunctory montage of him trying again and again until he finally passes and I think gets his girlfriend back too. I kind of stopped paying attention.
Yep, good. You had like 2 seconds to spare. Okay.
Just tell her that about your job. Fuck. What are we waiting for? Were you waiting for it to come up at an awkward time? Like, control the narrative a little bit.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me. Like, Romany Malco's character, when he's like, it's nighttime, it's after dark, your girlfriend doesn't know where you are right now.
He is a great example of what I found redeeming in this movie.
I love him so much.
He is so funny.
Is he the that's what's up guy?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, no, I liked him. He was good.
His the whole intro scene of the night school kids, they're kids even though they're grown-ups, is just pure chuckles for me. Mm-hmm. And the part when he calls his wife his rib, it's like, my rib, my Cleopatra. I just was losing it. And then there's the thing where Rob Riggle is like, they call me Big Mac, and yes, they're like McDonald's, and he's like, what? That was a never not funny to me when people don't get an obvious reference that they themselves made.
That said, Rob Riggle, we can take it down a bit.
Well, I know he is who he is.
I don't know. He was going really hard with the, like, oh, I'm the big loud guy.
Yeah.
And Kevin Hart, just because he's the small loud guy, he's still the big loud guy presence wise. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah,
he takes up a lot of space in the room.
I usually like him, but he did not. Rob Riggle did not do it for me in this one. There are some funny people in here. I would like to say that I am really sick of Keith David only being in movies for 5 minutes.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
American Fiction was another one. I was he's early in the.
SAG Ensemble list for American Fiction. Like, he could win a SAG award for that literal one scene.
Wow, and I thought for sure, I was like, oh, you got Keith David for this, so we're gonna come back to this. I see what you're doing. Great, let's come back to it a little bit more. But never.
I wonder if it's him. Like, he should have enough clout at this point, right? Like, I wonder if he's like a stand up where he's like, I got another gig downtown. Yeah. Bye.
It might be like, because he does work a lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it could be that, you know, he has so much clout and people are just like, yeah, this part is I keep wanting to say Larry David. This is Keith David. But he's just like, but I can only be on set for like a day.
I can never remember who's David Keith and who's Keith David. Right. Yes.
I might have said this before. The video games Saints Row 3 and 4 are like started as like a Grand Theft Auto knockoff that grew into like a Grand Theft Auto parody that still had the whole thing.
Great.
And in the world of these games, the president is Keith David.
Nice.
It's not Keith David playing the president.
It's just Keith David.
The president is Keith David. And it escalates until he becomes a playable character. And after he becomes a playable character, Rowdy Roddy Piper shows up and fights him in an alley. And then Rowdy Roddy Piper is a playable character.
What in the Sam Hill?
It's so great. You could try to seduce him. Like, you know how in some of those games you're like, you can like, you know, try to start romance. And he'll just be like, I don't think that's good for either one of us. Oh, it's so good.
Wow.
I love that you have virtually tried to seduce pixelated Keith David.
I'm just going through all the characters. Like, what happens when you... Anyway.
I also like the guy, his little friend from high school.
John Ralphio. Ben Schwartz.
Don't be suspicious. That's all. Yeah.
So that's a good example. Like, his buddy is rich and still accepts him as a grill salesman who dropped out of high school.
Right.
Like, how can you not just share this with your partner? And if she has a problem with it, she sucks.
Right. I guess it's just he not working past his own low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Why was he into Tiffany Haddish for a minute?
He wasn't.
The entire... Yeah, he was.
He just is like, we gotta address what's going on between us. That's not being into someone.
No, that's him thinking that she wanted him.
Yes.
being wrong.
Which is a thing that guys do.
Either way, yes. I believe you.
You talk to a guy, he's like, Layla, let's address what's going on. I said hello.
Right. I thought she was good in that scene, too.
Oh, she was good. Yeah. It's still a dumb turn.
Yeah.
It is. It's unnecessary. I was afraid that it was going to be like a romance.
Well... Because his girlfriend or fiance kind of sucks.
A little bit, yeah. She's a little vapid.
Like, first of all, she seems like she doesn't have a personality. But also, I think part of it is bad writing and bad acting.
Yeah.
But, like, didn't it really seem like when she found out that he's been lying to her, she was more upset that he is low class?
Yes.
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 That's gross.
Right, yeah.
This gross movie was released on September 28th, 2018, 24th number one movie of that year, won its opening weekend with $27.2 million, held off the Warner Brothers animated movie Smallfoot.
What?
This is one of the last...
I was going to say, didn't they have opposing Abominable Snowman movies?
Yes.
Didn't we have a Dante's Peak situation with that?
What was the other one called?
I think maybe Abominable.
Abominable. Yeah. This is one of the last times a animated film that wasn't DreamWorks Illumination or Disney umbrella actually came out. Also, the forgotten horror flick Hellfest, which even I didn't see. A 1 week number one movie in America lost the next weekend to the debuting Venom, which did better than I thought. Venom made $80.2 million its first weekend.
Oh, like, my God.
Venom was a big hit.
I thought you were going to say over its whole run.
No, that was first weekend.
I was in there.
Camille was like, I am responsible for exactly 40 US dollars of that.
Exactly.
That's not to just give away, but it's, I think it's a 4-year-old Marvel movie at this point. I love the tease at the end of Venom 2 that it's like, he crossed over, he's in the main universe now.
Right.
And then at the end of Far From Home? Spider-Man Far From Home, where it's like, yeah, he just sat in a bar trying to get people to explain things to him. Until the universe corrected itself. Right. Beautiful. So good for that character.
Yes.
I don't care about it, but I kind of like him now. I think there's a Venom 3 this year. Isn't there a Venom 3?
I think I heard that.
You said you like him. Do you mean Venom the character?
Or Tom
Hardy. Yeah. I like Tom Hardy as Venom, the Venom character in those Venom movies, more than I like those Venom movies.
I agree 100%.
Okay. Okay.
And yeah. I like him enough that I will happily watch Venom 3.
If it exists and is coming out. We'll check later. The first one was certainly a big hit. So was A Star Is Born. A Star Is Born was the same week as Venom 1.
Really?
Also went ahead. And Smallfoot held better, so Nighthouse dropped to fourth in its second weekend. Rough. Still made a respectable $77.3 million, 39th for that year. There was supposed to be a TV series based on this movie.
This seems like a TV show.
Night School, the series, was in development for all of about 9 months before NBC went, oh, we don't care, and canceled it. Like, they announced it, tried, got as far as casting, no one was returning from the movie, and then they were like, yeah, you know what, never mind.
Okay, they should still make a TV show about a group of ragtag misfits in night school, because that is what Community was supposed to be, right? Although they're in, you know, community college, and that worked, and then Community decided it was going to be whatever Community became, which admittedly I do like for at least 3 seasons. But you can do so much with a group of people who come together. This is why people make workplace sitcoms, right? Yeah. People who are very different, who have to see each other all the time, forming connections is fascinating. And that's how you make a good sitcom. And doing the workplace comedy vibes without being at work?
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah, because it was a nice little touch when we got a very small peek into like what everybody's home life was like when it was just like a hot second. And there is Venom 3 release date November 8th, 2024.
All right.
That's why there is 3 Sony Spider-Man adjacent movies this year to 1 Marvel movie, because they delayed all the Marvel movies. Deadpool Wolverine is the only Marvel movie, but we have Madam Web, Venom 3, and Kraven the Hunter.
Oh, wait, Madam Web is part of that universe?
Yes.
I did not know that.
We'll be talking about it.
I'm not going to see it.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I sure did.
Wow.
And we'll talk about it.
Oh, boy. Stick around for the second half of the episode, I promise. things are going to happen. Going to be a movie draft. Going to be all kinds of stuff. In the meantime, director Malcolm D. Lee, following up Girls Trip. That's what's confusing. This is after Girls Trip.
Really?
Girls Trip was 2017. This is 2018. So this is the next movie.
This is what he did with his blank check.
I know.
Don't like it.
One of the girls from the trip and added Kevin Hart and said, the movie will happen around them. It's a shame. Maybe that's why he has mostly been in TV since.
Okay.
He did the Wu-Tang miniseries. He directed some episodes of Harlem. He did a Best Man miniseries off of his Best Man series, Best Man movie.
The Best Man, the final chapters.
Yes. So he has mostly been on TV. His only feature since Night School was Space Jam 2. So,
oh, wow.
Not helping out his cause there. It's not terrible, Space Jam 2.
It's just so much.
It's a lot. Then so again.
Like, what, 50 years later?
Yeah, and they made it so that they, like, Casablanca is in Space Jam 2. There some weird nun
the devil's
horror movie is in Space Jam 2. It's like they were like, let's mine the entirety of the Warner Brothers entertainment
Harry Potter
universe
stuff for a while. Rick and Morty show up. It's, like, anything they own is in there.
It is very indicative of the cultural moment of the last 5 years or so of everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah. It's not good, but I just want to briefly remind everyone, neither was Space Jam.
Yeah, we're just too old.
No, we're the exact right age.
You maybe are. I watched Space Jam with the kids I babysat for.
You're a year older than me.
I know.
All right, because you went to movie camp and were watching Dr. Zhivago when you were seven. A lot of people in my generation are like, oh, Space Jam. It was never good. You just were really excited because Bugs Bunny met Michael Jordan. And also, Bill Murray was there for some reason. It's a bad movie.
Men roughly our age treat girl Bugs Bunny the way that women our age treat Robin Hood.
Yes, that's
the cartoon
true.
Fox.
It has a lot to do with it.
Yes.
But when people are like, oh, they ruined Space Jam. I'm like, no, Space Jam ruined Space Jam. It just stayed at its own level.
I never understood that cartoon Fox.
Neither did I. And I feel weird about how everybody else is so into this cartoon Fox. And I'm like, what's wrong with me?
This was the first feature writing credit for Kevin Hart, and no one has asked him to do that again since. He's got writing credits on all his comedy specials, obviously. This is the only feature that he is credited on. On the other hand, he has appeared in a total of 50 movies between 2002 and this year. Averages more than two movies per year every year for two decades.
Can I provide sub Kevin Hart is everywhere color?
Yes.
A friend of mine, Maddie, has started collecting sports cards. They still make sports cards.
They do.
And he has started collecting them. Mm-hmm. And in a recent run, they printed like some special random collector ones because that's kind of how this whole thing works.
Yep.
And what makes them special is that Kevin Hart is photoshopped into the picture on the front.
What?
Like it'll be Giannis will be dunking and Kevin Hart will just be standing there going, oh,
yep, exactly that.
There's one or two WrestleManias where like the show starts and it's Kevin Hart talking about WrestleMania. It's like, what are you? Why? What did you?
He's the James Franco of it all now. Like it's it's just Kevin just hangs out at the studios at this point. And they're just like, hey, you got an hour?
The WDVE folks have said that when in that era where he was still playing the improv, when he was in town, he would come in first thing in the morning and sit there the whole show and be it like present and involved. And like clearly he has always just worked. Mm. But at some point you got to
take a break.
Yeah, you can calm down, my friend.
Go on vacation.
Tiffany Haddish also.
Hug your kids.
Also,
I don't know if he has kids, but hug him if you have
probably.
Them.
I think he does.
Tiffany Haddish, also no stranger to taking checks. 35 movies since 2005.
What?
Kevin, Tiffany, learn how to say no thank you. You don't have to do. And both of them have movies you have never heard of that have like a 3.4 on IMDb.
Yeah.
Like a bunch, because they just say yes to other than that, there is nothing to say about this movie. There is like there's nothing in IMDb trivia for this movie. So
the IMDb trivia is that this movie exists.
Right. Right. Fun fact. You probably saw this. Yeah, it's the play between them was funny for like when they're in the car, I like it. And then like there's just diminishing returns every time they start yelling at each other. Mm. I mean, I guess I like that it's represents adult learning disabilities for a minute.
It's like
until the punching.
Yeah, yeah. This is like really like a lukewarm film about like determination.
Yeah. I do want to say my husband Colin Diedrich is the founder and president of the Learning Disabilities Association of Pennsylvania and has multiple learning disabilities. He started watching this movie with me. He had seen it before and he was like, you know, really, the only thing I remember about this is that I think it has a pretty good depiction of learning disabilities.
Right.
And he likes, for example, they basically do that, you know, that meme with the numbers flying in front of the Brazilian woman. They do that. And he was like, I think that this is a good depiction of what dyslexia feels like.
Mm.
And then he also thought that the scene where he's like diagnosed and like she gives him or when she starts being like, you need to get tested for learning disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is a good depiction of that. I agree with you. Basically, it goes wrong with this is your IEP. Like, I wish that she had given him actual tools. That would have been a lot cooler. But I do respect the message there.
Yeah.
Also, wouldn't they have allowed for him like special circumstances to take the test? Like, make it auditory or something? Like,
yes. Well, he also has a processing disorder. And also, I asked Colin if he would watch that scene, but Colin was too busy at work. The way that they depict his processing disorder, where he like gets on a sidetrack about her thinking that she's saying he has prostate cancer.
Right.
that felt very, very real to me as a person who has a partner with a processing disorder.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem like, I understand processing disorder, but for him to, but it just sounded like he had a hearing problem when he, when she says processing and he says prostate cancer. It seemed like that was not written well.
Yeah, I think it could have been written better. But the idea is you have had this lifetime of trying to fill in the gaps of what people are saying, not because you can't hear it, but because you can't process it.
Okay, and so you're like missing things?
You are ready to fill in those blanks ahead of time to try to, like, in air quotes, keep up. Mm. And so that leads you astray.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to feel about literally any character in this movie? Like, is Kevin Hart a bumbling idiot, or is he smooth and successful and just waiting for his circumstances to catch up? How are we supposed to feel about his beloved, who he's really into, but she's a jerk all the time?
Yeah.
Do we like Tiffany Haddish? Do we Fat Joe, we like. That's clear. Other than that,
I liked Marilyn Rajscub and her rekindling her flame with her terrible husband.
Right.
I enjoyed that. I also really liked the scene where she was like, no one ever knows I'm here. It's my superpower.
Right.
She was good.
I think that Kevin is, his character is not necessarily this a bumbling idiot. I think he's mostly the smooth talker because that's how he's managed to navigate life.
Yes.
With these learning disabilities that are unbeknownst to him.
Yes.
And so that's just kind of his vibe. Not necessarily like he's trying to be smooth and for nefarious reasons.
Yeah.
It's just that's how he gets through life.
Mm-hmm.
His girlfriend, she's just trash. Like she's just, I mean, and it's because like she's just very poorly written. We know.
But then I would have liked a lot of things to be better, but certainly like a better inciting incident than he's a goofball that blew up his job.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't fit with what this movie is about. And I know it doesn't really matter. And it's just an excuse to get him to fly through the air doing his high pitched scream. But
that should have really hurt him.
Yeah. And what happened? He popped
the champagne and it
knocked the propane.
And there were so many candles around.
Yeah, it seems like he, I don't know, processing with that is that part of the problem. But it's like, I guess, maybe this falls under the processing problem as well. Like he seemed to be preemptively celebrating this thing. Like, was your boss, was his boss supposed to be retiring the next day? And like, had you seen paperwork that said that this was actually going to happen?
That's
like,
a really good point.
And it's, There's a lot of wiggle room between like you're in charge and you're going to be rich now. Anyway, it's not well thought of. They just decided the scenes they want to have and found like the ending. So many hoops had to be jumped through to get to an ending speech. Like we don't usually have night school people at high school graduation, right. But they're here. Also, they get to make a speech. Also, they choose who make the speech. So the one who did the worst is making the speech.
Yeah.
Go. Like
something I did not like was how the principal character,
Taron Killam.
Yes, Mr. Robin Scherbatsky. They keep giving him personal motivation when he doesn't need it. Like if someone shows up and is like, just give me a GED, it's very normal for the principal to be like, that's not how that works.
Right. Yeah.
And instead it's like, no, they bullied each other, right? And then when they go to the prom, it's just a thing that adults can't go to high school proms.
it's very ill-advised.
Right? So it's weird that they feel like they have to give him personal motivation for wanting to kick this guy out of the prom.
Right.
He just shouldn't be there.
When they go to the prom and the way I aged when I realized that Hey Ya was the old folks song. Like the old people are dancing, but to play old music. Outcasts, Hey Ya, oh God.
I do think the soundtrack for this movie is elder millennial white person bait, and I bought into it.
Why was Owner of a Lonely Heart playing during the heist? That has nothing to do with heisting.
Because for those like, what's a wild dude, Rob Wiggle is falling. It was for those hit marks, man. That's what that was all about.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who should have been very injured, I know it's a comedy, but come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't even have a cast on after that.
You notice when they have the ending scene at the prom, we play Hey Ya in full again. Like, we paid for it. We're playing. We're using it twice. It again.
Let's do it again. And, you know, there was an option for an extended cut. I did not watch that.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it's already like almost 2 hours long. Right. That's the other
that
thing.
That was very weird.
I thought for sure when I was like, yeah, this is gonna be like 90 minutes. Right. It'll be fine. Like, no.
The trailer is this.
Lisa, you're the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh my god. Do you smell gas?
Came out, but I was nervous. That's just a quick one.
No, that's
I got 13 degree burns on my ass.
Can't you give me a job?
I wish I could. My bosses won't let me hire a dropout.
Look at Mark Zuckerberg.
He dropped out of Harvard. You dropped out of Piedmont High.
I was a couple credits shy of graduating. I gotta get my GED.
I'm the principal of this school. You're in my house.
Are you using a black voice?
No, I don't hear color.
Welcome to night school.
This book is kind of thick. I thought it'd be more like a leaflet.
If you're not gonna do the work, drop the class.
Just, no, I'm gonna do the work. You'll see.
We'll see.
Yes, we will.
Great.
Superb.
Excellent.
Good.
Yeah. Are you trying to get your GED?
Yes.
My suspicions were correct.
You're clinically dumb.
There is no cure for what you have.
Oh my God. I got learning herpes?
Boy. You did the black voice thing with him?
It's not a black voice, not a black voice.
You don't remember when you was in that meeting, you was like, we gonna get it lit up in here, this meeting lit.
It was very lit.
I keep it 100.
When have I ever not kept it 100?
A lot of those takes were funnier than the takes they used.
Some of them, yeah. And it was weird. There were moments in the movie where I went, I'm sure this is in the trailer. Like Taron Killam using black voice in air quotes. I was like, I'm sure that's in the trailer. But I feel like not all of them were. I was like, I feel like they could have made this movie seem funnier than it actually is. And instead they hit it about as funny as it actually is.
Yeah.
I thought the trailer looked better. I mean, it didn't look like I'm going to see this movie, but it
kind
of looked better. And the Letterboxd is, I'm feeling miserable and depressed, and I desperately need to see a bad rom-com or an unfunny comedy list.
Oof.
I mean, if that's what you got to do. I mean, I know that's a thing that some people are like, when I feel terrible, I need to watch something that isn't actually funny. That
I usually go for horror if I'm feeling bad.
And I go for bad action movies.
Yeah.
or bad thrillers, I should say. A crime thriller is absolutely what I want when I don't want to think.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I keep almost calling it other night movies. That's Night Swim. That's Night Moves.
Night Moves has been playing in my head for the last 2 days because of this movie.
It's better than the movie.
That's Night School, and I give it a 30, I guess.
I'm going to go 40.
Yeah, 37.
Yeah, it's in there. No one did anything to be proud of.
I'm not mad that I watched this.
No, but
I
I'm mad
recommend
that
recommend it.
I'm mad that I paid for it because I know it was on Netflix for a long ass time. Yeah. We got to this.
This is our curse.
Right.
This was up to you. You could have kept vetoing all day.
Could I? Because I felt bad at that point. Like,
it felt like you just felt like we needed to wrap it up more than anything.
Listeners, I cut out like 3 of those vetoes.
I'm not taking any of those off the list. We're calling those soft vetoes.
Even like Voodoo, as I was like searching for it, they're like, are you sure you want Night School? It's like Night Swim, Night Fan, Night This, Night That.
This is what you want to watch? All right.
Even like when I put in the end, Boys in the Hood, like, wait a minute.
No one's clicked this button in 4 years. 35 and 2/3.
Yep.
Sure. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. But hey, we're guaranteed a better movie next time because we're picking it. We're picking 8 movies we actually want to see. So it's.
I'm so excited. Well,
are we though?
Robin seems to have gone in a direction.
Okay. Well, first of all, I fully forgot that I had to pick movie draft movies, and it is very fortunate that I arrived here around 5 minutes early and quickly scanned through the list, and so I have picked 4 movies. And then secondly, Sean's never won a movie draft.
Oh.
So she's
trying to lose.
Once again, I am trying to lose. And even more so than last time, because Sean's birthday was earlier this week.
Thank you.
Camila's birthday is later this week.
Sunday.
Happy birthday, everyone.
Thank you.
So this is my birthday present to you, is helping you win the movie draft. I hope I don't live to regret it. And then also,
I'm going to laugh so hard if you win this.
I was going to say, I realize, our voting pool is so limited now because it's our listeners who still use Twitter, which is a ever dwindling number of people.
I know you still have the count. Just log in, vote, log back off again. Don't look around, eyes
don't
forward.
don't engage.
And I am slightly worried that there'll be a little rat fuckery going on. But we'll see. All right.
So, Robin, remind people how this works.
Because Sean and I both got bingos last week, that triggered a movie draft. The way that this works is that Sean and I have both brought four films, and we have a special rule, which I'll get into in a moment. And one by one, we will be revealing our choices, and the other person has two vetoes. But of course, they do not know what else is coming on that list when they make that play.
Right.
If more than four films survive the vetoing process, Camila will choose the final four for the poll that you will all vote on.
Poll for the people.
The poll for the people. It's an election year. This is practice.
Right. Well, if you're tanking, tank.
The special rule, Camila. Oh.
The special rule for this one is that they could only pick movies that began with the letters N-O-M-I-A. And you know why. So
Nomia. That's what we call this show because the name is a mouthful.
Yes.
Nomia, for those of you, if you're looking for...
We did not have a focus group. We didn't workshop it. We just said, we're going to do the number one movie in America.
But if anybody out there wants to make us some swag, some nice designs with Nomia on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to start with my N, which is The Nun Story, 1959. All I know about it is that it was nominated for Best Picture.
The Nun Story.
The Nun's Story?
Yes, a story of a nun. The story belonging to a nun.
I'll save the veto. I've been watching a lot in that 40s, 50s era lately, so I don't think it's going to use it, but okay. All right. Different N. National Lampoon's Vacation.
I am not going to veto that.
One of my favorite movies.
I have not seen it since I was young. I am not vetoing it.
I don't know how you can. That, to me, that and Jaws are the two, you're going to see it three times a year, no matter what you do. Movies. I've seen it a million times, but beginning to end recently. It's all of those people, very funny people being very funny. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nothing has been vetoed yet. Do you have an O? Are we going in order?
I skipped O.
Okay.
So I'm going to M, and I'm going to go with the 1962 version of Mutiny on the Bounty, also nominated for Best Picture.
I'm still not going to veto because we had that whole conversation about how we want more ship fun, that we we like ship fun. So again, I appreciate that you are not just taking them out of the blue. You're trying to think, what would no one vote for?
And also that I would not be upset if the rat fuck us into watching it, because these are all in my quest.
The only movie on my list that I have not seen, and because I know I should, Mommy Dearest is my M.
Oh, not going to veto it.
All right.
I really hope that one wins.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I've definitely never seen it. But
I fucking love that movie.
Awesome.
All right. Do everything you can. Do you have an I?
I do. And this one, I don't believe, was nominated for any Oscars. It's Infamous Flop, Ishtar.
Oh, I really want to see Ishtar.
Yeah, that one might actually win.
That might actually win.
I know.
I don't have an I. I have an O.
You're not vetoing that, even though it might actually win? But you want to see it.
I want to see it. Yeah. But I want to see it.
Me too. Elaine May's a genius.
I didn't have an I. I have an O. And it's The Omen, which I really want to use to kick off a series run before there's a new Omen in a couple of months.
Oh.
So.
Oh, yeah, I saw a trailer for it last night.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. What's your A?
I have two. I'm going to go with the one no one will vote for, which is Anatomy of a Murder, 1959. I can't remember what it was nominated for.
Is that James Stewart?
Possibly. I don't know. So. It was nominated for some Oscars, and also I think it would be kind of fun to compare it to Anatomy of a Fall.
1959, James Stewart.
Yes, correct.
Ben Gazzara. Yeah, I can't veto it. I have a Criterion that I haven't watched yet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You tried to fail, and I want to watch all of these movies.
So, Camila, you have your work cut out for you.
Yeah, I do.
You got one more.
My A was, this was when I was just like, let me pick something that'll win. Air Force One. My A is Air Force One.
I refuse to veto Air Force One.
All right. So when...
Get off my plane.
There are more than four, which now there are eight. The non...
We've never done that before, by the way.
Yeah, no one used any vetoes. The non-participating host picks the four.
Nun story gone.
All right. Didn't think that would last.
Ishtar gone.
Oh, shame.
Bye. Bye, Ishtar.
I don't remember what... Okay. Mommy Dearest is definitely there.
Uh-huh.
Anatomy of a Murder, stay.
Okay.
Air Force One, keep.
All right, then you have to choose between The Omen, Mutiny on the Bounty, and National Lampoon's Vacation.
Keep The Omen.
Great.
So...
Are those all... Those aren't... No, Anatomy of Murder was yours.
Yes. In setting up me winning, three of the picks of mine and the only one that's Robin's no one could possibly care about. So... Do your worst, listeners. It's going to be Anatomy of Murder. It absolutely is.
I think people are going to want to watch one of the other ones.
I have strong feelings about Mommy Dearest. I feel good about that one.
Yeah.
Let's do all four. No, we're all busy. Yeah. So those are your choices. We will put the...
I could do Mommy Dearest right now.
Yeah. We will put the poll up as soon as the episode drops. Head to Twitter, head to any of our Twitters or the number one movie pod Twitter, and you will find the poll, the thing to the vote thing. Vote for a movie. It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. I guess let's start with Madame Web.
Let's start with Madame Web.
Madame Web.
Madame Web is a camp masterpiece.
Yeah.
Like, this is the quintessential one-star heart on Letterboxd for me.
Oh, I didn't give it the heart.
I don't actually do hearts, but if I did hearts, I would give this a heart. I had such a good time. It is so immensely terrible in such amazing ways. So one of the things that's really notable about this movie is that it is set in 2003, and it is constantly giving you different eras from it. Just has, it is unstuck in time, much like its main character. And I read, and I don't know if this is true, but I read that they were having it set in the 90s for part of the filming. They did a million rounds of reshoots because this movie is so bad. And then in one of the rounds of reshoots, they were like, actually, let's make it 2003.
Goodness.
I heard that they did that in case they want to say that the Peter Parker is a fetus in this movie. Is literally her... Co-worker is Uncle Ben, and his sister is pregnant with the baby that will be Peter Parker.
I saw somebody who was like, I didn't understand that this was had anything to do with Peter Parker, and so I was like, why are they treating this baby like the Messiah?
That's the theory, is they moved it forward in case they wanted to be like, and that baby grew up to be the Spider-Man in our movies right now. But that explains why there's moments like when there's a shot of a Beyonce album cover that came out in 2003 that lingers for a long time. And when she says, I'm going to watch Idol now.
Which is one of the many lines of dialogue, which is incredibly clearly ADR'd.
I believe, the whole movie.
Like the villain.
It's like an Italian slasher. Just yes. Everyone's moving their mouths and a different voice happens.
I genuinely think there might be a Glenn Close, Andy McDowell situation with the villain. Like everything he says is truly misaligned with what his mouth is doing.
If that's a retake, why does he sound like Tommy Wiseau in The Room? Like, my favorite is when they set up that she's coming to save the day, and her way of saving the day is driving her stolen taxi cab through a diner and knocking the bad guy over like it's the ending to an SNL sketch. Just like, I'm going to get you. Boom! And then later, when she has to save the day again, they just run that back. They just have her drive a slightly bigger vehicle through a slightly bigger building and run him over again. Wow. Like, that's her power.
Well, she also astral projects around them. Her powers are very poorly defined in a way that I genuinely enjoyed. Rolling Stone said it was the Cats of superhero movies.
Yes.
And I said, two tickets, please. And I was not disappointed.
I mean, disappointed is the wrong word. I had a great time watching it.
Yes. Also, I try really hard when I see these movies. Like, I was like, someone here might actually be here sincerely. I'm going to try not to cackle at everything stupid that happens. I gave up on that really quick.
I can't. I'm only human.
Yes, exactly that.
I thought we drove people from the theater. Like two people sitting near us got up and bailed. And I was like, oh, are we making fun of it too much? And I asked the usher on the way out and they were like, oh, no, they nearly had a seizure. Because this movie flashes like a Nine Inch Nails video.
Oh, God.
Man. Yeah. And there's that. Wow. It didn't have that. Probably because no one noticed or cared. Like a lot of times when you go to the movie theater, there'll be a warning of a movie flash. They didn't bother. So.
Wow. That sucks.
That does suck.
Yeah. Like, I love Dakota Johnson, but boy, can you tell that.
I also love Dakota Johnson, and I love limes.
I love limes. I love them. They're great. I love them so much, and I like to present them like this in my house.
She lives for Suspiria and The Lost Daughter and the real work, and every now and then is like, you'll give me a check to do what? All right, fine. I'm not going to pretend I like it on the press tour.
She's not going to pretend she likes it like she pretends that she loves limes.
I'm allergic to limes.
Camila's like, I don't know what this is about. You don't need to.
No, it's fine.
You know how most celebrities, when they have to deal with ridiculous celebrity things, they can pretend?
Yeah.
She never grew that muscle.
No, I know. That's my, like, I've seen enough of her doing stuff I'm always like, she's always seemed so disinterested.
Yeah.
So there was some dumb, you know, here's a tour through my apartment thing. Mm. And like a stylist had put a giant bowl of limes to like, I guess her kitchen was just a little bland. So they put a, like a giant bowl of lime and she's talking to the camera and she looks at it and you could see her thinking, why the fuck are all these limes here?
Where'd these come from?
And then she realizes she's on camera and is like, I love limes. I just need to have them around all the time.
God. Yeah, I'm so torn about my feelings. I'm not really thrilled about her as an actress, but I think I might be able to hang out with her. I think I could hang out. This is Don Johnson and Melanie, what's her butt's
Griffith.
Child, right?
Yeah. Yes, and Tippi Hendren's granddaughter.
Oh, I did not know Tippi.
She is Melanie's.
I didn't know that.
She's a double nepo.
Wow.
Robin, what else have you seen?
I've been doing Oscar's Death Race.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to win this year, and I'm actually going to let myself off the hook because I'm not going to win. I'm going to skip some of the documentaries, and I'm going to skip Golda. But I did go see The Teacher's Lounge, which is the German International Film nominee. Mm-hmm. And I can't really recommend it because it is one of the most stressful movie experiences I've had. Like my Letterboxd review was, it is an 8.5 on a scale of 1 to Uncut Gems. It's great though. You know what I mean? Like if that is something that you enjoy, why would you enjoy it? But it is really, really well done. Basically the plot is a teacher is trying to help her student and everything she does to help her student makes everything much, much, much worse.
Oh God.
And it just unfolds horribly. And it is so painful and uncomfortable and great. And I also had the lovely experience. I saw it at Manor Theater in Squirrel Hill, which is always full of olds. And it's the only place I ever feel young. And an old woman stood up, older woman, I guess I should say, as I'm turning 40 this year, stood up and said, but was it worthy of the nomination? And I was the person who answered because I'm not shy. And I was like, yes, but I need to go lie down. And I saw...
That was just like a glimpse into your future, Robin.
If I live that long, that's
that
me.
That was you, right.
It
that was
really is me.
Shout out to the Manor Theater. Still the only place I've seen an audience member run screaming from a movie.
Which movie?
Hereditary.
Oh, yeah, that's valid.
Turned and they were seated on the aisle, got up, turned, and ran out of the building.
Which part?
When he hears her make the clicking noise from beyond the grave.
No. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
That movie's too much.
Love it. I might buy the Hereditary candle. Let's get into it later.
What? Okay, don't do that to yourself. That's asking for trouble, Sean.
Right? Let's not conjure anything.
Exactly. I saw the Oscar shorts.
Hmm?
They're not that great this year.
Not the best crop.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The one that I do recommend, which is streaming on Disney Plus, is the documentary short, The Last Repair Shop. It will make you cry in a good way. So I recommend that if you feel like crying. And
you did not love El Conde as much as I did?
No, I mean, it just... would have been a good short. That's the bad thing about watching these Oscar shorts, is that when you watch movies that would have been a better short, like Zone of Interest or El Conde, it's like, why did you have to make this 2 hours long when you could have gotten this point across in 12 minutes?
Mm.
Good. If you don't know, it's about the dictator Pinochet actually still being alive and being a vampire.
Yes.
Great concept. Great photography. That scene where the newest one is learning to fly and kind of stumbling in the air is amazing.
No, it does look very cool. I understand why it got a cinematography nomination.
And I had a big crush on the Secret Nun, so that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense now that I think about it.
Yeah. But I liked it a lot.
I did not like the narrator or the reveal. I thought that was
the narrator
really
wasn't that good. Yeah. Oh, I liked the reveal. Anyway,
I just was like, oh, we get it. Okay.
Do you want to comment on the Marvels?
That's fine.
A few months late.
Yeah, the Marvels is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Did not deserve to be the conversation it was because it's just kind of a pleasant enough Marvel movie.
Yeah.
It just happened at a time when everyone had to have a take.
Yeah. Yeah.
Camila?
I watched nothing new this week. These last couple of weeks, I've been listening to smutty audiobooks.
Nice.
Oh, that's good, too.
I respect that choice. Camila's like, I need to quit this podcast because that's all I got time for now. Please don't do that.
It comes in waves. Like, I'll be like, as the smutty audiobooks is like, you know, I'll be all about it for like a month and then like I need a break.
I have a question about smutty audiobooks. Do they like, do the actors do like moans and deep breathing?
Some of them, the good ones do.
Okay. All right. That sounds, this might be something I should be looking into.
Also, I mean, but also if you're really into that, like Dipsy.
What is Dipsy?
It's an app that is strictly made by women, and all the stories are written by women, and it's all just erotic.
All right.
Audio books, audio sounds, and like, and there's, and a lot of them are short. It's like, you know, and they have specific that it's just like you pick your favorite character, just their moaning, just their moans.
Oh boy. Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Dipsy, Dipsea.
This has been Nomia After Dark. I watched, speaking of erotic content, Driveway Dolls. I love it. Love Driveway. The blank stares.
No, that's the movie that this girl who was in an arcade sketch show is in.
Who was in an arcade sketch show?
The girl with the curly hair. I don't know how much she's in it. She got a line in the trailer. Her name's Haley Holmes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I will have to figure out.
She's a Point Park student, or was when she was in an arcade sketch
show. They keep... I didn't know that the new... Not Janice, but Janice's friend in Mean Girls is named...
No.
The guy. He's almost too gay to function.
Yeah,
we know
sure. I don't know his name.
The new one of those is Point Park Kid.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, between that and the kid from The Holdovers, we are producing...
I was going to say Watch Your Back, CMU, but that's the kid from The Holdovers.
Yeah, the kid from The Holdovers.
Yeah.
I had not heard about this movie.
Driveway Dolls?
Yeah,
Isn't it a Cohen?
It is Ethan Cohen.
Okay.
It is the first... Ethan, I'm not alone. He's with his wife and collaborator, Trisha Cook, who was a collaborator on many of the Coen Brothers movies. Mm. It is the first Joel-less Ethan Cohen movie, like Tragedy of Macbeth was the first one that Joel did without Ethan, which I said this on the radio this morning. Maybe they decided to split up because they noticed they only have one Wikipedia page between the two of them. Two of the most important filmmakers of the last 30 years. If you type either one, it goes, nah, we mashed them together.
Like, we're not doing this twice.
So if you go to Frances McDormand's page and it says spouse and you click on it,
it goes
takes
to the Coen Brothers
spouse
page.
And her brother-in-law.
Yes. And I think, I mean, prove me wrong with your next works, the fact that Joel did a Shakespearean tragedy and Ethan made a comedy that feels like Raising Arizona, I think he was responsible for the funny and Joel was responsible for the dark murdery stuff.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, this is definitely a dark comedy, but very, very funny. The three leads are so good. Margaret Qualley and Geraldine Viswanathan, who are the two leads, were like... a Butch and Sundance level pair to me.
Great.
And maybe that's because it doesn't overstay its welcome. It is 84 minutes long. So
tight.
Like credits at 79. Them. So maybe it's like, I wanted to hang out with you more. And it just stayed novel. But
leave them wanting more.
And
sorry to cut you off. You guys ever see the perfume ad that Margaret Qualley did that was directed by Spike Jonze and is a masterpiece?
No.
No.
Well, I'll send it to the group chat later.
Yeah. I did a Zoom junket with the three of them, with the two of them and Beanie Feldstein, and Margaret Qualley is intimidatingly cool. Margaret Qualley is so cool just in her very presence that you're like, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk to you. I'm a nerdy writer.
Yeah. Oh.
But Beanie Feldstein, just as nice as you'd like.
Oh, good.
Anyway, really funny, especially if you love Raising Arizona or Big Lebowski or the funny parts of Fargo, yeah. you will like this. And I love that there are famous people in it and they are pure supporting bit players
yeah.
building up these rising stars. This movie has Matt Damon and Pedro Pascal and Miley Cyrus and Colman Domingo, and they are all like, I am here a little bit, but we are keeping the camera on.
Nice.
Cool.
The protagonists of this movie.
Matt Damon seems to do that a lot, which is one of the few things I find admirable about
him. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Because that's about just about enough. It's like, you know what? Sometimes like you just need like a little sprinkle of Matt Damon to roll through and then just keep it moving.
Keep it moving, Matt.
Before Camila gets her fists wound up. Because he's what you want to punch, right? He's on your punchable list.
I don't think he may be. I don't remember. Like, but
go
the
back
list
to
is
our
short.
Elysium episode, yes. one of our early episodes.
Yeah, I think he might be. Yeah. It's a very short list.
I am less positive, but not negative about the Bob Marley biopic. It's fine.
I've heard most people just say like. Eh.
It's not a good movie because there is not a musician biopic cliche that it does not fall right into.
Yeah. Mm.
But the two leads are good.
Does he have to think about his whole life before he goes on stage?
He mostly thinks about how he just got shot and he might get shot again. But yeah. it still feels like that. But when it gets boring, they like play a Bob Marley song. And you're like, oh yeah, this is a good one. So it's kind of fine.
Did you see that in a screening or a real theater?
Screening, but a full screening.
I was going to ask, what did that theater smell like?
You can smell the dorm poster that smells like weed coming off of the film.
Like most people were like, this is a prerequisite. I must do right? this before going to see the Bob Marley movie.
You got to show your respect.
I feel like now that I'm running out of old Universal Monster movies, I might move on to old Universal Sherlock Holmes movies.
I support this.
They're also like 60 minutes long and very satisfying. Again, this is just geographically for us. About an hour north of Pittsburgh is Newcastle, Pennsylvania, which was the site of the first movie theater owned by the Warner Brothers.
Really?
Before
the whole thing where you can't do that?
Yeah. Well, and before they were a movie studio, they were like, we'll try a vaudeville thing. We'll try this. And one of the things they tried was owning movie theaters.
Oh.
And the first one was in Newcastle, Pennsylvania.
Holy cow.
And they've finally built like a little museum to it, and they have little screening rooms there, and they'll occasionally do a film series. And they were doing a bunch of the Sherlock Holmes movies this month, and it was very pleasant. And I watched the last 45 minutes of Halloween H2O, and boy, is that one a mess. It's
Michelle Williams is in it, right?
People, mm-hmm. Michelle Williams,
Josh Hartnett,
LL Cool J. It's a wacky 90s cast.
Janet Leigh
is in there for a while. And every plot development is like, no one would do that. Not only would Lori not do that, Michael Myers wouldn't do that. And he's just walking.
Was that your first time seeing it?
Oh, no, I've seen it many times. And every time I'm like, what the hell with this one? The ones that are bad and kooky make so much more sense than anyway.
Yeah.
To the bingo card. Oh, we're doing it in a wacky order today. There's nothing on the bingo card, is there?
Social media is mentioned.
Yeah, let's have Camila introduce us to the wonderful new tiles she has selected.
We got a new bingo card. New tiles include social media is mentioned.
Which we do get.
Yep. A character in the medical field, I believe Kevin's sister is in the medical field in this movie.
His twin sister. I also enjoyed that because Colin has a twin sister.
Yeah.
He's a lot in common with Kevin Hart.
Okay. So there's that.
He's also a good salesman.
A new tiles love triangle. Movie was number one for more than 2 weeks. Did we already have the star in a Nepo baby on there?
No.
That's new.
Okay. No, that's new.
Movie about revenge. And movie celebrates the 10, 20, or 30 year anniversary this year in 2024. We have mopping, sweeping. Was that janitor actually mopping?
I don't think so.
Okay. And
you said we're counting the medical field?
Yeah.
Is social media mentioned?
It has a presence. Yeah, I didn't necessarily mean like it needs to come up like
social media is a plot point. That's how Principal finds out who his fiance is and invites her to the prom to gotcha him.
Right.
Well, had I been born in 2018, I would have an instant bingo, but sadly, I am not 6 years old.
So
I agree.
That's what we got. We got character in the medical field and social media is mentioned. So,
well, once again, go vote for The Thing and give me my first win unless you just want to see. What did you include?
Anatomy of a Murder. Anatomy of a Murder. The one that made it.
That badly.
Yes.
Come on.
I think that might be one of the movies that Peter Falk was nominated for. Columbo was nominated for 2 Oscars.
Really?
Yes.
Good for him.
He's on that list of people who I'm like, you know, they were nominated for an Oscar, and people go, really? Like Eric Roberts and Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Eric Roberts?
Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Yep. Oprah.
Speaking of the few stars I've interviewed, Eric Roberts is the only one that ever frightened me.
Yeah. No, he's scary. Also, Emma Roberts and Madame Web. When did Emma Roberts get old enough to be playing someone's mom?
She's not. She's just not getting much work.
Oh, boy.
They can only make so many American Horror Stories. She needed something to
it
do.
It seems like they can make a lot of those.
I'm still waiting for the one where they just, like, they use all of the cast from Buffy. And not like not in the Buffy universe.
That's how they get me.
Right?
That's how they get me.
That's all I want.
Before you go and vote, guess along with us. This movie was Night Swim School Place Moves. Night School was released September 28th, 2018. What was the number one song in America?
Is this the year that Despacito happened?
No, that's okay. Earlier than this, I believe. I'll tell you, this is one of the years when most of the weeks were Shrug, Drake, but it's not Drake.
Okay, thank
I'm
you.
I'm hard-pressed to like know what was playing at all in 2018.
I've never heard of this song.
Bruno Mars. Boy, here we go. Have you heard of the artist?
Yeah.
Okay, Selena Gomez.
No.
Bruno Mars?
No.
Ariana Grande?
No. There's also two parts to the there's two elements involved here, and they don't go together. I don't know how this worked.
Two elements meaning two artists? Or
Yes.
Nicki Minaj?
Two?
No. It is a band featuring a performer.
Fall Out Boy?
I don't think they were doing much at the time. They'd run out of very long
Maroon
sentences.
Maroon 5? Does that count
yes.
as a... It is Maroon 5.
Rihanna?
No.
And SZA?
No.
Because that song would have been good if it was just SZA.
Yeah, see, these make sense. I understand a pop band that's you know, has
T-Pain.
A little flow to it going to, say, Rihanna or SZA. I don't understand going as far as.
What's the genre this other thing is in? Is it like
hip hop?
Oh, boy.
Much like Tiffany Haddish, here is a person who suddenly was in everything.
In 2018?
Yeah, about then. Who was not really a thing and then suddenly was
that describes
in
so
multiple
many.
Movies and all just all over the media.
A hip-hop artist?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be one of those ones where I edit out a lot of the pausing.
Yeah, not...
So it's a hit. They were in. Man. They're an actor, too?
Method Man?
No.
You said they were in all the movies. Did you...
This female hip-hop artist has at least 2 or 3 movie credits I can name.
So they are an actor?
Yes.
Okay.
Female.
I mean, I don't know how much acting's going on, but they're in the movies. She's in the movies, including one of the Fasts and Furiouses and Hustlers.
Oh, Lizzo?
No. Who else was in Hustlers?
Keke Palmer?
No. There was another rapper in Hustlers.
Not
Nicki Minaj, but probably feuded with Nicki. But who hasn't, really?
Oh, Cardi B.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. I have no idea what Maroon 5
there is a
and
Maroon
Cardi B
5
did.
Featuring Cardi B that was a number one song.
That's
oh, wait,
bizarre.
Wait. It's the one where she says that she wants horses and carrots, but she's actually saying...
the hell?
Hang on. I'm going to get there. Girls Like You?
Yes.
Okay, yes. At some point in Nicki Minaj's verse, she says...
Cardi B's.
Sorry, Jesus. At some point in Cardi B's verse, she says something like, you say you're going to bring white horses and carriage or something like that, like a fairy tale, but she wants Porsches and carrots, like C-A-R-A-T-S.
Okay.
But I heard that as Porsches and carrots.
Right.
And
for the horses that you're not going to bring.
Correct. And I was like, oh, she's like, or I heard it as horses and carrots. So I thought she was saying like, I'm down to earth.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is the opposite of Cardi B's persona.
Yeah. You're giving her a lot of credit.
I truly like thought of this. So I was so good at justifying this. Once again, my improv skills.
Is the song good?
No. Yes.
So it
I'm
doesn't,
glad that I finally got there, though.
It doesn't work like I think it wouldn't work.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a description of Maroon 5 in general. Yeah. It's like, you think this is working, but
no.
Keep your shirt on.
I saw him perform live, and he had an erection on stage.
Stop it.
It's true.
I mean, is there any chance that it was just...
No, it started as normal man in pants, and it became tented man in pants.
So basically, like, it confirms my thoughts on Adam Levine, is that he just gets off on himself.
Exactly.
Don't cut it out.
Not cutting it out.
Take that, Adam Levine.
Moving in America.